Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome, everybody, to another week of Pulse of Fins Nation. I am your host, Lewis Song. I am joined by Chris the Duke Early. I am joined by Alfredo Arteaga, the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast. And later on, Eric Weidecke will be joining us as well once he gets his internet up and running. But we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. Miami Dolphins continue to make signings, very interesting names that are being thrown around, and also rumors, speculations, but we'll also bring that up as well. We're going to be talking about Chris Greer. What has he done this offseason? How do we feel about it? Let's give him some grades. I wanted to go ahead and give him some grades considering everything that's gone down so far. But before we get into all that, just want to go ahead and mention, as always, this show is brought to you by our good friends over at prizepicks.com. Prizepicks.com is the revolutionary fantasy platform where you can pick up to 6 different players across professional sports leagues, whether that's the NFL, the NBA, the MLB, one of each. It's up to you to decide. Just choose whether your chosen player will get more or less than their projected stat. Free squares, special Taco Tuesday promos, Flex Friday specials where you can get your money back if you lose or multiply the amount of money you can normally win. There's literally no reason not to go onto Prize Picks and get that up to $100 match on your initial deposit. So once again, outside the state of Florida, you can use the promo code 5, that's FIVE, and they'll match up to $100, again, on your deposit when you initially sign up. For those of you who are still in Florida, fear not, Prize Picks is currently working on a new game that you guys will be able to play here as well. Also, if you're watching this live on YouTube, make sure you go check out the links in the description below to get your hands on some awesome games from My Nintendo Store, an affiliate sponsor with the 5 Reasons Sports Network. You can check out Super Mario Bros. RPG. You can check out Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Both awesome games getting rave reviews, and obviously it just has already stood the test of time in the sense of one game. So make sure you go check those out. Click the links in the description below when you make your order, and you'll get bonus items upon making your purchase. All right, so here's what we want to talk about right now. And this is what I want to go ahead and just, we'll get it out the way. We'll get that first question out the way right now, because this is going to be the very generalized and we'll get into the specifics after the fact. So if you are going to give a letter grade to General Manager Chris Greer for how he's done this offseason, trying to retool, reload the Miami Dolphins roster on a scale A to F, what are you giving him? Alfredo, you go first.
A solid B plus. And the only reason I'm giving him a B plus is because he didn't do some of the things that I would have liked to have done on the offensive line, but they have a philosophy and they're sticking to it. And part of that philosophy is listening to Mike McDaniel and what he wants to do and his philosophy with how he wants to build his offense. That was, by the way, the number one offense in the NFL. So I'll defer to them. So I'll give him a solid B plus, but that's only because they didn't get a couple of the guys that I would have targeted.
All right, and Duke.
Yeah, I'd say about the same. You lost some big-time talent with Wilkins and Hunt, but you re-signed some guys. You brought in some good players, older players, but good players on really good deals. I think you've pretty much kind of a wash. I mean, you're going to lose some with those players, but for the money that they got, it was I don't know that those positions are necessarily worth it for those particular players. So, yeah, B plus.
All right, and I'll go ahead and honestly, I feel the same consensus as you guys. A B plus feels like it should be right in the range of where I would put him. He's done a fantastic job as far as I'm concerned with reloading talent. Obviously, I was gung-ho saying Christian Wilkins deserves a blank check because I feel like he was the heart and soul of the defense. Now they're going to have to try to find a new heart and soul. I don't know who that's going to come from. Maybe it's Jalen Ramsey. Maybe they rally behind him and he's the new in the locker room superstar guy who keeps everybody in high spirits. Hope maybe Zach Sealer carries on the tradition of swiping some towels from behind other people's backs. That'd be fun. But I feel like that only in the sense of certain players. Like, I understand the Robert Hunt thing. Robert Hunt got $100 million from Carolina. That's pretty drastic for any guard. I get it. The market has been inflated to the point where you're almost getting tackle money if you're a guard. But if you're that good, then teams are looking for a proven commodity. Alf, it's very convenient that we can talk about this right now in OnlyFins as we speak. By the way, the link is in the description of this YouTube video as well. OnlyFins, only $3 a month to get in on the best Dolphins talk out there. And it is very carefully moderated so that it does not turn into the cesspool that is Twitter. I know that was a discussion going on today. But Alf, you guys were talking about today how, in the sense that all of these players, all of these people that they're bringing in. Actually, I lost my train of thought. I'm gonna lie because I had to introduce Eric, and so I forgot what I was gonna say. Eric, welcome to the show. Glad you got your internet up and working. It's like, absolutely, why did you do this to me? Now I don't remember.
I'm sorry. I was disconnected, and then I just disconnected you right there. I didn't mean to. My apologies.
All right, no problem. Maybe you'll. I'll find it again. Don't worry. All I have to do is go into OnlyFins and check and see what it was that I was going to say. But in any case, Eric, giving letter grades to Chris Greer on what you think of how he's done this offseason so far. So go ahead and give your letter grade from a scale of A to F. How do you feel about how he's done so far?
He's rebounded really well to a solid B+ for me to this point. I really like a lot of what he's done. I think that the defensive line by committee approach, while it might not be the most sexy thing in the world, I think getting a true nose tackle in a guy like Benito Jones was a good addition. I like Jonathan Harris a lot from out of Denver. Bringing back Deshaun Hand, who was a quality player in that rotation towards the end of the season last year, was big. And then I look at the additions of Jordan Poyer and Kendall Fuller and Anthony Walker, the other linebacker, Jordan Brooks. And then you look at a common thread of those guys. Maybe this is me stealing a little bit about what you're going to say here, Lewis, a common thread of those guys being captains in the case of Fuller and Poyer and Walker, at least bringing in some high quality veteran leadership to the locker room. I really, really like a lot of what Chris Greer has done so far.
Okay. I actually did remember now what I was going to say, Alf, is that the thing that the Miami Dolphins are doing, and this is why I feel like the guard market in general is so hyperinflated right now. What teams are looking for right now are proven commodities. They're not looking for rookies. And what CK actually pointed out on OnlyFans was that if you look at the charts, like these kids coming out of college, these offensive linemen are not as game day ready the first time, as soon as they're drafted, as they have been in years past. It's like the quality has gone down over the course of these years. And I feel like that's what's going on right now with the guard market, is that teams are recognizing that we need somebody who can protect our quarterback right now. We don't need somebody who's going to be able to protect our quarterback in 3 years. So that's part of the reason why I feel like they're willing to pay Robert Hunt 6 years and $100 million. It's because they know that this guy can play now and play really well. And we don't have time to develop a kid for 3 years and hope that maybe we'll be able to give them the technique he didn't get in college.
Yeah, CK, he talked about that on the podcast last night, that Miami tends to use, or has been using under this new regime, the free agency market as their draft for the offensive line. And they seem to be targeting a certain type of offensive lineman. The guy leaving their rookie contract, headed to their second contract, and they're trying to find the bargains in that group. And they seem to be looking for a certain type, like a tackle convert back to guard that could help them in a pinch. I think that Jack Driscoll signing is a bit underrated, because his tape is not bad as a guard. I think his tape is good enough as like he can press and push Liam Eikenberg, in my opinion, to be the starter at right guard. He has pretty decent tape at right guard, especially for what they want to do. They want guys that are going to be athletic. He's actually pretty good in pass pro as a guard. I don't like him as a tackle. So, you know, the idea that some had that he's just going to be a backup tackle, I just don't like him as a backup right tackle. I don't know what the Eagles were doing. They finally got around to playing him at right guard the last game of the season for the second half against the Giants. And he looked all right to me in that. And I actually posted all his snaps from that game at right guard on OnlyFans, which, of course, you could get on there for $3 a month, discord.gg/OnlyFans. But they've replicated what they did with Isaiah Wynn last year with Driscoll this year, and it don't seem to be done. And the Aaron Brewer signing is just a straight up look. It was a need because it's looking like Connor Williams is probably not ready to play. I don't know if he's going to play this season. So they had a big gaping hole at center, and they decided to fill it. So, you know, a lot of those people that thought that Liam Eikenberg was going to be the starting center, I guess they were wrong.
I mean, I'm not upset about that. The idea of Liam Eikenberg starting the season just honestly made me sick to my stomach. I give him credit again for playing through pain and doing his very best, but there is a ceiling there, and it's not very high when it comes to Eikenberg. So that's my concern with him.
They do have like an ongoing faith, and you have to put some stock in that because look at what happened with Austin Jackson. They seem to have some ongoing faith with Liam Eikenberg that it's gonna that the light bulb is gonna turn on and it's gonna work for them, because they always keep circling back to him somehow, and they've trusted him in a bunch of different positions already. Yeah, and this regime has already trusted him at every interior spot, left guard, center, and right guard. So we shall see.
We shall see. But the thing I also want to touch on here, and Duke, you like to watch trench play at the very least when it comes to draft time. You probably noticed this in years past. The whole concept of these kids coming out of college and they're not ready to play on the offensive line in the NFL. So do you think that this might have, like, not only is the fact that the Dolphins are trying to fill the spots now, so it's starting to look like, and I said this on Take 5 not too long ago on a quick 5-minute video, it looks like the Dolphins are doing what they can to try to steer away from having to fill the trenches with their first two draft picks this year.
That may be a possibility. I think you just want to leave yourself the options to do whatever you want to do in the draft. You don't want to pigeonhole yourself into, well, I have to have an offensive tackle, I have to have a defensive tackle, or I have to have this or that. I think you need to plan. I mean, you've got some big contracts that are going to be coming due, players that you may want to get out of these big contracts in the next couple of years. you look at Miami sitting there at 21. Will they draft a wide receiver? Well, I think Barry mentioned it, that they're looking for a wide receiver 3. Is that something you want to use a first-round pick on? Well, maybe not, but at the same time, you've got to look at it. What are they going to do with Jalen Waddle? What are they going to do with Tyreek Hill? When Tyreek Hill's contract is up, are they going to re-sign him? Are they going to restructure it? What are they going to do there? So you look at that and say, well, let's draft a guy, and he's going to be wide receiver 3 now, but wide receiver 2 next year or the year after that. And so I think they just want to give themselves some room to make plays down the road. And that's the one thing I think that Chris Greer has done as a general manager that has come along as his career has progressed, is he's gotten better at looking ahead to the future, drafting players that may not be a need now, but will be in the future. And a prime example of that is Cam Smith. I mean, that's not a need people thought of last year, but now X is gone. They brought in Kendall Fuller, and he's got some inside versatility that might play there. But you drafted Cam Smith because you know at some point you're going to move on from X. And so I think that that's what Greer's doing, and I think that's what he'll do this draft. Maybe he does take an offensive lineman at 21 or 55 or whatever. But I also think he's going to draft positions that we may not be expecting simply because he knows we're going to need these positions later. Let's go ahead and get them while we have the chance. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see a safety there, for example, or a wide receiver, or maybe a linebacker. Who knows? But I think I think he's leaving himself open by making these moves. We're getting guys that we think can play. And if the guy we really want there at 21, we'll take him at whatever position, and we can, you know, cut the guy that we signed for a cheap contract, or maybe that guy's not there and we've found this other guy that we like at another position and we can take him, and we can go into the season knowing that we've got someone at these various positions and we're not worried about it. And so I think that's kind of the plan.
Eric, your thoughts on the whole thing.
Yeah, so I think ultimately when you look at, I agree with Duke in that they've wanted to, and I think that they've done a really good job of setting themselves up to really take a true BPA. I think the other thing is when you look at Chris Greer, history kind of shows that he likes to take big swings. You know, a lot of his players that he selects are high upside guys. And I think that when you look at a position like interior offensive lineman, you know, it's inherently kind of a higher floor, lower ceiling position, because when you look at the line between good interior offensive line play and great interior offensive line play, that line's probably a little bit thinner than what you get at other positions. And so there's a little bit of diminishing returns there. But when you look at, like, for example here, a wide receiver or a cornerback, if you add and the other thing is, there are certain positions where guys acclimate to the league just a lot faster these days, like wide receiver being one of those positions. For example, even though we look at the roster and we say, okay, well, they have Tyreek and they have Jalen, you know, what's the immediate need for a wide receiver? If they take somebody at 21 and they take a guy who is Pro Bowl caliber year one, because that's a very real possibility at the wide receiver position in today's game. You know, you look at Justin Jefferson being taken 21 a couple of years ago. Not to say that there's a Justin Jefferson in this draft, but if you hit on a guy and then all of a sudden you have a wide receiver three who is another Pro Bowl caliber talent, that's taking that, the impact of that is far greater than, you know, getting an interior offensive lineman who might be, you know, 20% better than what Isaiah Wynn or Liam Eichenberg or Jack Driscoll can give you on the interior of the line. And I think the same thing applies at positions like edge and corner as well. Those are positions that Chris Greer likes to target in the first two rounds. So I think you're going to look at those premier positions as kind of where I would predict they would go early on, just based on what Chris Greer has done in the past and the impact that those positions have on today's NFL.
If you look at what Chris Greer has done, to piggyback off what Eric said, if you look at what he's done since 2019, he drafted Christian Wilkins in 2019 as a defensive tackle. Every other year that he's had a first-round pick, he's used it on premium positions, cornerback, wide receiver, edge rusher, quarterback, offensive tackle. Those are your big time positions. Those are the ones that you look for. Those are the guys that get paid in free agency a lot. And yeah, we know Robert Hunt just got paid and Christian Wilkins just got paid, but those are that's what you look for in those rounds. And that's what he's drafted. So again, don't be surprised if it's an edge player or a position at one of those premium spots, more so than what we kind of hope it is or think it might be with an interior lineman.
Well, I guess in my mind, this is what I'm looking at. At some point, if we're going to – because if we're looking at the window and saying it's still open, right, we have to consider the possibility of what is it that Miami needs the most right now if they're going to push for a Super Bowl. Because I don't look at 2024 as we're punting the year away. Although I will say, as far as punter, that seemed like a punt to me, but that's a different discussion. I won't go into my Jake Bailey rant. But if we're not going to punt this season, then we have to, I understand that they're trying to fill all the holes that they possibly can. I understand that they're trying to look and see where can they find the most improvement. But as of right now, what I'm looking at is that they have done their best to address the interior offensive line. They got Aaron Brewer, center. You got Isaiah Wynn, left guard. You got, as Alf mentions, Jack Driscoll at right guard, or if they go with Eichenberg, that's another option for them. And they have brought in other people for visits. I can't remember the guy's name, but there was a lot of raised eyebrows about him. Alf, what was his name again?
Phil Haynes.
Phil Haynes. Okay, yeah, he's a former Seahawks guard, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So they brought him in for a visit. No signing has been made as of yet, but maybe they'll revisit that later down the line. They have a lot of more money now to play with the whole Bradley Chubb restructure. And of course, Xavier Howard money still hasn't come in, so there's always that as well. So here is where we question, what is it that Miami needs the most right now? Do they need that third wide receiver? If they do, then obviously Barry's making it a point to say they're looking really heavily at one of those big names out there. Is it Michael Thomas, like I alluded to in my take five? Is it Odell Beckham Jr. who's available right now? There is it Tyler Boyd? I mean, Tyler Boyd is not back with the Bengals, so that's an option. He was their wide receiver three for a long time, and he was extremely effective. I have no doubts that he could come into Miami and do the exact same thing. So there are options out there. They'd be a little on the pricier side, but they would absolutely nail down the third wide receiver spot. So, but with that being said, you get third wide receiver, and now you start looking around and you start questioning what exactly is that position of need the most. And I say position of need specifically because we are in a position right now where we can still push for a Super Bowl, but we have more holes now than we did before. There's not as much top-end talent as there was before. So I'm going to ask you guys right now, in your opinion, what would be the position that Miami needs to draft more than anything? Not what will Chris Greer draft, because based on patterns and whatever. If you were the GM of the Dolphins, what's your greatest position right now with pick 21?
Well, if you're not gonna address wide receiver three, this free agency period, then I would strongly consider it with pick 21. But I will say this about the wide receiver class this year: it's so deep that you can bypass it in round one at pick 21, and just target pick 55 for that need, and you're gonna get a good player. So that's probably what I would do. And I'd probably concentrate on the offensive line with pick 21 and hope the Faltano is there. If he's not there, Grant Barton is a guy who's picking up some steam, and he's a ready-made guard. Like, he's ready to play football like now. Like, he's one of the exceptions. And I think he's probably the only interior offensive lineman that is consistently drawing a first-round grade in this draft. If he drops to you at 21, that's good news. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but a couple of mocks now are pushing JPJ down in this draft. And I forgot who it was who's pretty well respected, put him just outside of his top 50. So that's something to also monitor going forward. But I really do believe that wide receiver three is imperative as of right now. They've done some to help themselves, okay? You know, it's not like they've just sat there and done nothing. Jonnu Smith is going to be a huge help for the passing game. But I think a third wide receiver is imperative for this season.
But are you going off the assumption that they don't sign some big guy to come in here and take over the job?
Yeah, if they don't, then one of those two picks, 21 or 55, I think has to be spent on a wide receiver. Because it's such a good class, you just got to get one. You know, there's just so many ways you can go, and I don't think you can miss, really.
But so let's say they do, though, sign Michael Thomas or OBJ. Does that change your position at all?
No, I think it just changes my position on pick 21. Still at pick 55, I'm looking to upgrade again.
All right. Duke, your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to stick with wide receiver as well. But to add a different thought in there, I'm going to go with edge rusher. And just because that we have two guys that are coming back from injury. So we hope their availability is there week one or early in the season. But if it's not, you might need another guy. And you could always bring back like a Melvin Ingram or someone like that as a veteran stopgap. But if there's a guy there at 21 that you think can be a long-term guy. And most teams usually try to carry, most good defenses try to carry three edge rushers. We had three last year at one point with Van Ginkle, Phillips, and Chubb. So if you can get one there, and I know we brought in Barrett, but, you know, it'd be nice to have that guy that, well, if something happens and the recoveries are set back a little bit, that you have a guy that you're comfortable with. But I have been on the wide receiver bandwagon for a while. I wanted a wide receiver three last year. I was hoping Berrios would kind of do it. It didn't materialize. So there are a number of names out there that I like. And I always mentioned Xavier Worthy just because he ran the 4.21 and why not have the fastest team on earth? So, but if it's not him, you know, somebody there to fill that position, because again, you've got to look at what happens when the Tyreek Hill contract comes up or you decide to move on from him. It'll be nice to already have two guys in the building because you know you're going to re-sign Waddle. We'll just go ahead and put that out there. Unless he just wants, you know, quarterback money or something, he's going to be back with the team. So I would rather have the guy now and use that early pick on him, especially in a deep class, as opposed to waiting until after the fact and then you need a guy then. So, but yeah, wide receiver, edge rusher, and then I would go offensive line as the third.
I'll admit I forgot about edge rusher as a potential need. Yeah, with Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb, both I understand they're pushing themselves, but there's even if they do make it back week one, which again a little bit of skepticism right now, even if they do make it back, it's very doubtful they're going to be at full strength. So there's going to be some lowered quality there. Eric, what are you thinking right now?
Yeah, so I mean, I tend to kind of fall in agreement between wide receiver and edge rusher. Another position, if we're just looking at what the Dolphins need going into the draft, just because they haven't addressed it yet and how important I know that it's going to be to this defense, a third safety is something that has to be addressed this year. Whether that's I know the first round isn't really the safety class this year is not much to write home about. So I would probably go in the order that Duke said, wide receiver, edge, or offensive tackle in the first round. You know, if you've got a Liatu Latu or Chop Robinson available at 21, I think both of those guys are tremendous prospects. Or a Brian Thomas falls to you at 21. I think that's the ultimate dream scenario for me personally, but it would be wide receiver, edge, offensive tackle. But at some point they are going to address that third safety spot.
And there are options in free agency, by the way, still for that third safety spot. Just looking down the list here, I know nobody wants Jamal Adams. That's kind of a nightmare in and of itself. Quandre Diggs, formerly of Seattle. I know that Alf's been talking about him for quite some time, so I'm sure he'd love to have him on there. Get one of the – he's related to Stephon, right?
I'm not sure. I don't think
like all the Diggses are in there somewhere.
I don't know. Let me see if he's related. I don't think he is. Cause I think Trevon is the one. I know Trevon is related, but
yes. Trevon Diggs and Stephon Diggs are both right in there. I don't know about Quandre Diggs though, but either way, the potential of a safety thing, I'm going to go to look at the list here, like of the Dolphins roster. This is where I start to think what kind of flexibility, what kind of creativity is Anthony Weaver trying to put together here? Because if you really, really think about it, you right now on Miami, you have Kendall Fuller, who, as Duke mentioned, can play inside. He can play outside at any given moment. So you have flexibility on that front. You have Kader Kohu. He can play inside. He can play outside. He can do both. You have Nick Needham. He can play inside, outside. He can also play safety. You have Jalen.
He's not related at all. He is not related at all to Stephon Diggs and Trevon.
Okay, so the last name Diggs has no connection. Okay, well,
no, none.
I mean, you start to pick up that pattern because you have all the Watt brothers who were in there for so long.
And here's an idea at the safety position as well. I don't know that this is a full-time thing, but it's something that they could work with. And that's Jalen Ramsey.
I was about to bring him up. Yes. So the Jalen Ramsey.
You're not playing him at safety per se, but you can use him in a variety of ways where he's kind of a middle of the field guy and he's roaming around. I think we got wind that was going to happen last year. It never did. So I'm hoping Weaver will bring that out, but yeah, I think he has some versatility there. And you've got Cam Smith, Kohu, and Fuller as guys that you could probably start and then keep Ramsey in there as a cornerback, safety, kind of either one that you wanted to Rover. Do. And if you look, yeah, and if you look at Baltimore's defensive snaps, I don't know if I covered this last week or not, but most of their snaps were defensive backs. And even Marlon Humphrey and the safety Williams, I can't think of his first name, they were top 10 in snaps, and they didn't play the entire season. So had they played all 17 games, they would have been in like the top seven. So
are you talking about Kyle Hamilton?
No, he was still in the top five.
I think that's Marcus Williams.
Marcus Williams. So he missed some time, and Humphrey missed some times, but based on per game snap wise, they would have been in the top like seven of terms of usage. So Baltimore was really heavily used the defensive back and linebacker positions as opposed to the defensive tackle position. I think only one defensive tackle, and that was I can't say his name, Matabuike. He was the only one in the top 10 in terms of snap count. Both linebackers, Queen and Roquan Smith, were top 10, and then mostly defensive backs. And so, yeah, I mean, I could see a scenario in which, you know, they might go get a third safety, like, say, Justin Simmons, who I think was released and so would not count against the comp pick for me.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Where they get a guy like that, but they could use Ramsey, Holland, Poyer, Cam Smith, Nick Needham, Kohu, all those guys out there at one time and just go lighter in the box.
But that's what I'm thinking, is that that's why for me, I don't think, as much as it's nice to think the idea of having three dedicated safeties, I really don't think that is what their plan is. I really do believe at this point that they're going to look at the versatility that they have in the secondary, and they're going to go ahead and say, okay, we have Jalen Ramsey who can play all over the place. We have Kendall Fuller who can play inside and outside. We have Nick Needham who is now 1 year removed from his injury, so he'll hopefully be back to full strength, and he can play any position in the secondary we want. Cam Smith is here, and he still wants to play, and I think that there's something there, so he'll get his opportunities. Kendall Fuller's going to get his opportunities. Do you really need a dedicated third safety, especially if you're going to try to get the most out of Jalen Ramsey? Jalen Ramsey is a playmaker. He is somebody who can absolutely ruin any quarterback just because he's hovering and watching your eyes and seeing where you're going to go with that football. And he can do it better than almost anybody in the NFL. So while it's nice to think of the idea of, oh, let's just have Ramsey shadow their best wide receiver, if you don't have to do that, find a way to get him creative like they did in Los Angeles when he was at his peak, and you can do some amazing things with him. He's your third safety corner. He's just a weapon. He's a defensive weapon that you can get the most out of if Anthony Weaver is creative enough. So do they need a third safety? I personally don't think so. I think Ramsey is that third safety slash first corner slash however you want to put it, especially now that they have Kendall Fuller, especially now that Cam Smith is going to have a second year of development. I don't think a third safety is necessarily needed. And that's my thoughts on that.
Well, let me ask you this. Who are your six for dime on third down? Because that's one thing that Baltimore did and Miami will do. They'll play six DBs on third down. They'll play dime defense on third down. We know where Jordan Poyer is best. He's best as the dime linebacker. Okay, so he's man number six. Who are the other five?
Well, we already know that Kohu can play inside if needed. We can play Kendall Fuller. I mean, they've got the guys. They've got Ramsey.
Name who those five guys are.
Jalen Ramsey, Nick Needham, Cam Smith, Kader Kohu, Kendall Fuller, and you got Jordan Poyer. That's six.
That's six or that's five?
Kohu, Needham, Ramsey, Smith, Fuller.
And Poyer.
And Poyer. That's six.
Okay.
They got Holland.
Oh, Holland. Hello, Javon Holland. I completely dismissed him. I forgot all about him. I'm so sorry.
So we're talking about depth is what they probably need.
Well, at that point, if we're looking at depth, I'm sure they're keeping Ethan Bonner around for a reason.
Remember that you always roster as many as 11 defensive backs. They brought back Elijah Campbell, so maybe they'll count on him. So. You know, I still think that they're short. They're short a couple of defensive backs, so they're going to add a couple here.
And they have before. The special teams guy too, although he probably won't play much on defense.
Yes, Aran Neal. But I mean, I don't think they're going to look for like heavy hitters at that point. They're going to look for value guys. They might bring back like a Justin Bethel before they go and grab somebody more expensive like a Justin Simmons, because I feel like their starting lineup is rounded out in the secondary.
So. Do you think that Nick Needham moves full time to safety at this point?
I mean, it's an idea, but I don't think they want to pigeonhole him like that either. I think they just want to go with Holland and Poyer as your number as your one and two safety, and then you just rotate them around as needed. Ramsey's going to be in there; he's going to be doing his stuff. Nick Needham's going to be in there; he's going to be doing his part, and after that. You just kind of figure it out from there. You have two backups in Needham and Elijah Campbell, I believe. Like he can play. I'm pretty sure he can play safety.
So I mean, do you think though that they're looking at a guy like Nick Needham? And I understand that he's a year removed from his injury now. Do you think that they're looking at him and there is like lock solid? Oh man, this guy's for sure going to be on the roster, kind of as you are. Because I feel like that's
I don't think they would have brought him back if they didn't.
I'm not sold on that just yet. I think that he's a great camp body to have around, and the upside is certainly there. We've seen him be a really good player before, but I don't know if he's like set it and forget it. Oh my God, Nick Needham has to make this team.
Nick Needham will make the team. Nick Needham will make the team. There's no way. The only way Nick Needham does not make the team is if one of these other young guys that we haven't even seen them bring in yet, or maybe. There's the only way Nick Needham doesn't make the team is if he this unknown commodity who is not yet on the roster plays so well that it just invalidates having Needham on the roster. Needham has shown that he can play in every position on the secondary and he can play it well.
Is it a given he's going to be the same player he was?
After a year removed, yes, I think that he will be. He's had enough time to heal up. And it's not like I don't think he got re-injured per se. There just wasn't a space for him. Like they still had Kader Kohu out there. So was he really needed at the time? Not really. So it kind of just boils down to how much room was there. Emmanuel Ogba didn't play for a while until injuries started happening. And so once Jalen Phillips went down and Bradley Chubb went down, then we started seeing more of Emmanuel Ogba. Did Ogba suddenly suck? No. It's just that there wasn't enough space for him in the rotation. So once there was an opportunity for him, he played. Needham was not needed that much until he was. And after that's when it was realized that, oh, he's not quite there yet, but next year he probably will be.
I mean, my question would be is if he's lost a little bit of explosiveness – from the injury that he can't play corner at the level we kind of want him to play at, would a move to safety kind of mitigate some of that loss of explosiveness? So that was the point of my question is like, well, we're going to look at him there because if he can play corner and step up there, great. If not, we have a guy that we feel comfortable with moving to the safety position.
Let me say something about that because everybody says, oh, we got to see how this guy comes off of injury, how he looks now, you know, and, you know, how he's going to look in August and in OTAs. Remember that they have those harnesses, those next-gen stats, those Mop Power things. I keep forgetting the name of the company that runs it. But all the players wear it. So there's a room that's right off of the practice field, the indoor practice field, where they could monitor everybody's mile per hour as they practice. So they know if a guy has actually lost a step. Like that's the new science of the NFL now. So they actually can quantify and they can actually qualify if a guy actually did lose a step. So I'm pretty certain that Nick Needham is going to be watched like a hawk in OTAs this year.
And so they can also use that technology to see who's slacking off.
Well, yeah, but you know, that's everybody knows that if you're wearing that, they're watching you, so you're not going to slack off.
I mean, Malik Reed didn't seem to care that much.
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't have a very good camp. He just, you know, he was finding every injury in the book.
Conveniently.
You know? One thing that I don't think is getting much, you know, much, and people are not talking about it too much, but they added another guy that clocked at 21 miles per hour last year on offense in Jonnu Smith. That's a big deal. That's a tight end running 21 miles an hour. That's Tyreek speed. Okay. So, you know, I'm optimistic already, but I still do think, yeah, they got to get in there for a third wide receiver. They're incomplete as of right now.
No, yeah, on offense, absolutely, they're incomplete. But this is why when we talk about what Chris Greer has done, I like the B+. And Alf, you gave your reasons for why you're not willing to give him an A yet. But I don't think I heard from Duke or Eric on specifics as to what's keeping it from being an A, or at least an A-. Is there anything that he wished that he would have done or that he hasn't done that you still want to see him do that's keeping you from giving him the better grade?
It's not necessarily that it's nothing that he. So we're grading him. And I think it's very important to realize, like, we are so early into the offseason at this point. And so I don't think it's a B+ from the fact that, like, oh, there's a guy that really got away or there's something that they missed to this point. I just think that there's a little bit more work yet to be done. Like Alf pointed out, I think you have to add a defensive back or two. I still think that there's going to be more offensive line depth that gets brought in. And as they continue to kind of fill in those gaps, I anticipate the grade will get higher on Chris Greer. And then on top of that, I want to see some of these upcoming extensions come in as well. I want to see Tua's extension. I want to see, you know, one of Phillips, Waddle, Holland at some point get extended in this offseason. At that point, then, you know, I think you can tidy it up in a neat little bow and say, you know, Chris Greer gets an A for the offseason. I think he's close to that point. But, you know, I just think there's a couple more items on the to-do list yet to be checked off before he crosses that threshold for me personally.
And Duke, I see you nodding. So,
yeah, I'm kind of in agreement with that. And I would just say, I think for me, it's just the totality of the losses versus the input. I mean, he's brought in some good players and I like the players he's brought in. I was kind of skeptical on Jonnu Smith at first, but the more I've watched and stuff about him, I think he's going to be a good fit. And I think right now, if there's no other additions, he's your wide receiver 3. Just in fact, I think he's your third target. But the one guy that I thought that got away, and maybe he's not necessarily a fit for what Weaver wants, but that was Andrew Van Ginkle. And I get that Wilkins and Hunt priced themselves out. And I'll be perfectly honest. If you look at – I did this today on the Finsider, and if you look at the production – you're paying Bradley Chubb with his restructure and Zach Sealer about $5 million more per year than Christian Wilkins. That's it. So two players for slightly over $5 million more than one guy. So that's $210 million that was given out to interior lineman positions. And I'm just, to me, those are lower positional value positions, and that's a little much for guys that are not necessarily like elite or Hall of Fame caliber players. I get that with a guy like Chris Jones or Aaron Donald. You pay those guys. But I don't know that Christian Wilkins is on that level, but he's getting paid like that. But to me, Andrew Van Ginkel was a guy that he didn't sign for necessarily too expensive. It seemed reasonable she could bring him back. And he's, to me, a quality edge rusher guy that you can use and move him around. So I thought that was a guy they could have brought back, but I understand that they didn't. So, like Eric said, you know, there's more work to be done. And, you know, I'm not necessarily a fan of the big splash. I don't care if he goes out and signs a big name or anything else like that. I think if he really wants to ace this offseason, he needs to put in some work into the draft. I know an option that we didn't discuss at the pick at 21 is a trade down. And if he gets that option and the guy he really wants is not there, and I know mock drafts and mock draft simulators aren't, you know, perfect, but a guy like Graham Barton, who I watched a couple games of his at Duke, and I really like him. He's got all kinds of offensive line versatility. It's possible he can make it to the back end of the first round. So if you move down from 21 to, say, the 27 to 30 range, and you get him there, and you pick up an additional pick, that's going to be good. You do something like that, and that's going to bump that grade up to an A, probably an A+. I just think he's got to, like Eric said, just got to put in a little more work, get the totality of the offseason in there. But thus far, he's done really good work with what he's had available to him. So, yeah.
On Grant Barton, I think you're going to be playing chicken with the 49ers because they're definitely in on him. And, you know, he's a perfect scheme fit for them, which means he's a perfect scheme fit for us. And, you know, you got to be careful. Like, if you're going to target Graham Barton, you got to be careful and you have to be mindful of what the 49ers are going to be doing, you know, because they can easily jump you if that's who they've identified. Because, like I said, I think he is the only interior offensive lineman. I think he's the highest rated interior offensive lineman so far for the first round, you know. But one thing, let me say one thing about the defensive tackles, because I was talking to somebody the other day and they were telling me, you know, you think Benito Jones and Deshaun Hand are going to replace Christian Wilkins? And I'm trying to explain, look, Neville Gallimore, Benito Jones, Deshaun Hand, all of these guys, Jonathan Harris, all of these guys are part of a unit. And it doesn't mean that one of them is going to play 60 snaps a game like Christian Wilkins can play. It means that Zach Sealer, you know, you're back to being one of the teams that has one stud defensive tackle. Most teams don't have two. Miami was lucky enough to have two. It didn't necessarily get them anything, but they had two. Now they're going to have one, and you're going to have somebody like Benito Jones play almost exclusively as a zero tech and as a one tech. You know, people are thinking he's playing 35, 40 snaps a game. No, he's playing 15 to 20 snaps a game. Gallimore's playing another 12 to 15. You know, Deshaun Hand is playing maybe 20. So you're going to keep a lot of those guys fresh and you're going to keep shuttling them in. So you got to start thinking of how the Ravens actually played their defensive line last year. And, you know, they had a bunch of specialists and a bunch of guys that just played a role. You know, as far as headliners, they had Michael Pierce. Michael Pierce is a nose tackle. Okay. I thought they played him way too much because he doesn't really give you anything in the pass rush. He's just a big guy that just sits there in the middle of the field. Matabuikwe was their stud. Well, we have one. You know, Zach Sealer is a pretty good player, you know. And if you look at his stats side-by-side career-wise against Christian Wilkins, they're damn near identical. So, you know, you're talking about using a lot of guys. I trust with what Weaver is trying to build here because he's seen it done before, so he's trying to emulate it. And when you emulate a winning program, sometimes you get good results. And I think he's getting good players to get those good results.
All right. Let's go into a little bit of the chat here. Aaron Andrews is the one who is talking about stuff. So, and he's asking, any of y'all watch the Xavien Howard podcast with Udonis Haslam? So I'll admit I didn't watch it. I saw a few clips of it. He was propping up Brian Flores, talking about that he appreciated, I guess he was a player's coach. I don't know. it's very interesting with Xavien Howard specifically, because we haven't heard much about, have he had any visits? Have we heard any buzz about anybody interested in signing him? Have we heard anything when it comes to Xavien Howard so far, other than the fact that he doesn't want to come back to Miami?
No, but I think a lot of people are getting, you know, the quote that they want from that podcast. He said a lot of things on that podcast. He said, he also said that Brian Flores was not a guy that would pat you on the back even when you did good things. So I don't know where he's getting that he's a player's coach from, because everything that he described from Brian Flores, right to the point where he said, look, I'm not buddy-buddy with the coach, you know? Everything he described from Brian Flores doesn't suggest that he's a player's coach, okay? And he also said he wouldn't mind playing one more year here with Jalen Ramsey. Now, we're not trading Jalen Ramsey, so obviously it has to be here, right? I'm thinking that his market is a bit soft. And remember that money tends to dry up, okay? I compared him to what Gilmore got last year, Stephon Gilmore got last year from the Cowboys. Cowboys traded a fifth-round pick, I believe, for Stephon Gilmore. He got paid $10 million for 1 year. I thought that that's what would be out there for X. Money's drying up. Money does run out. People are going to get money in June. My guess is that maybe his market waits until June, until somebody has a little bit of money. Maybe somebody takes an injury in OTAs and they're desperate, and they could put together that $10 million offer for that 1 year. 4X, you know? But he also needs the right system. He needs a man system to play man-to-man, you know? So, and there's not many of those. Minnesota's one of them. So maybe Minnesota is the place where he ends up. I always thought that the Cowboys was his best spot. Zimmer's going to play a lot of man-to-man. It's in Texas. He's from Houston, which is close. I don't think the Texans are interested because they're running out of money. And they have a younger team anyway. So I would look for the Cowboys, but, you know, he doesn't have the market that he thought he had. People don't want to sign guys that are currently injured. He can't pass a physical. So somebody was telling me, how come he hasn't taken a visit? How come he hasn't signed with anybody? Well, he can't pass a physical right now. Nobody's signing an injured guy. Okay? That's just a fact.
Apparently somebody did. Chase Young is about to go into surgery, and they signed him to a big money deal.
I saw that, but that's the Saints. They do desperate things every offseason.
They got all those Hudak coins burning in their pockets.
I mean, that's so different too, though, because when you consider Chase Young at his age and Xavien Howard, it's not. I don't think it's just the injury history with X. It's also just that corners at 30 tend not to do too well on the market in general. He's just getting to that point in his career. NFL teams don't like to pay older corners.
I'm just looking at X and thinking, if Xavien Howard really wants to play again, you could wait around and see if maybe you get lucky, but what if you don't? What if you don't? And that's the honest truth that you have to question yourself. What if you don't? What happens if nobody gets hurt? What happens if they look at Xavien Howard and say, listen, dude, we saw what you did. I'll go ahead and bring this up. We were not a fan of that. At least I wasn't. I made it a point to say I wasn't a fan. I did not appreciate that Xavien Howard, 1 year after signing his fresh new giant contract, he was already getting pissy and saying he wanted more money. He was holding out for more money 1 year after signing his new big money deal. And I feel like it's not like that was a private affair. Everybody could see it. Everybody saw what he was doing. And Miami caved and gave it to him. So there is potential that Xavien Howard has a bit of a reputation for being greedy, I guess you could say. He's like, he views himself as one of the elite corners in the NFL. And most Dolphins fans, at the very least, would agree that he is one of the top guys, at least now, or maybe not anymore, now that he's not here anymore. Maybe we don't feel the need to defend him so much. But Xavien Howard, when he's healthy, is very, very good. Is he top 10? Now, today, I don't know.
Probably not. Let's test this. Okay.
because people are going to say Sauce Gardner. I as much as I gripe about his like being grabby, he's one of the top guys. Ramsey, obviously, in Miami.
Jair Alexander is up there.
Well, I'll tell you everybody who's absolutely better than him, okay? All right. Sauce Gardner is absolutely better. All right. Jalen Johnson of the Bears is absolutely better.
That's two.
Jalen Ramsey is better.
Three.
Okay. I like Mike Hilton, but Mike Hilton's a slot guy, so I'm not going to put him in there. Okay. Le'Jarius Sneed is better. Trent McDuffie is better.
So both Chiefs corners.
Yeah. I think Joey Porter Jr. is going to be really, really good, but we don't know yet if he's going to be better. I think AJ Terrell is better. Jair Alexander is better. How can I forget? Tariq Woolen is absolutely better. Denzel Ward is better.
We're up to nine.
Marshawn Lattimore.
Marshawn Lattimore is better because he's younger.
So now X is 11 at best.
To be honest with you, I think Kendall Fuller's better at this stage of his career. Okay.
So and we got him on the cheap.
Yeah, and if you want to start bringing in slot guys, Kenny Moore is better. Okay, Taron Johnson is better. You know? Look, Derek Stingley might be better this year. So he's top 20-ish is where he is. Roger McCreary is a really nice player, too. So, yeah, he's top 20-ish right now, which is really good player, by the way.
It's nothing to sneeze at, but if he's expecting a market where he's going to get himself another huge payday, he's got another thing coming. So he better humble himself real quick. Otherwise, he's going to find himself on the outside looking in.
Well, the Cowboys haven't done anything, so maybe that's the shoe that's waiting to drop, right?
I mean, if he's waiting for Dallas, okay, fine. But he better understand it's like you're going to be paid at a discount. Whatever you were getting in Miami is a lot more than what you're going to be making now.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally, if Miami was willing to give him a pay cut, like a minor pay cut, and say, listen, we still want you here, but we can only pay you this much. If money was really his most important thing, then I would have just stayed in Miami, because whatever he was getting paid in Miami, even at a discount, is going to be more than what he's going to get now from whoever's coming up next.
Nah, but I think Miami wants to move on, because you got to understand, this is a guy that's going to command snaps. And he's going to hurt the development of Cam Smith, you know? They've moved on. I think they're done with. They're out of the Xavier Howard business.
Well, I guess, for lack of a better term, sucks to be X. But
yeah, unless they take an injury. Unless they take an injury, of course.
Oh, well, no. If Ramsey goes down, I would hope that their first instinct is to try to call X back in and say, hey, you want to come back one more time? It's like, remember that pay cut offer? We're still willing to give it to you. it's like still don't necessarily bid against yourself. Don't give them $20 million a year. Don't need to do that. All right. One last thing from Aaron Anders before we go. Odell and Tyreek in the same locker room in City would be insane, both on and off the field. So
off the field maybe, but on the field, both are like good teammates, good football players inside those four walls. So I wouldn't worry about them on the field.
Too many insane doesn't necessarily mean bad. Say again.
I said too many boats for Odell in Miami. Mm-hmm. Too many marinas.
I feel like I'm missing something there with that reference. Is he the one who thinks that mermaids are real, or is that someone else?
No. There was that famous photo of him on the
Lake Minnetonka.
Yeah, before the Giants playoff game, and then it just seems like everything went downhill after that.
Oh,
what would be more Miami than Odell Beckham with Kim Kardashian in the booth in the box? Well, Kansas City has Taylor Swift. Nothing's more Miami than that.
I mean, let me tell you something. If Odell Beckham Jr. shows up and we start seeing the Kardashians in the box, we will become what I hate. Like, I hated seeing Taylor Swift pop up on screen every 5 seconds because, oh my God, it's Taylor Swift. If they start doing that with the Kardashians and Odell Beckham Jr., I got news for everybody. I'm not going to be okay just because it's a Dolphins player. I'm still going to be like, why are we showing the Kardashians every 5 seconds? Can we go back to football, please?
Well, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you could say, well, that might equate to more wins because of the publicity.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. That's true. I did say that every time somebody asked me who was going to win the Super Bowl, who's going to win the Super Bowl, Lewis? I said Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is going to win the Super Bowl.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
I mean, we have her to thank for the increased cap space, I guess. So thank you, Taylor Swift, for that. So I guess if Miami signs Odell Beckham Jr. and we get a whole bunch of people tuning in to see the Kardashians.
At least go ahead and pencil in the division.
Yeah, we can pencil in the division because they don't want a Kardashian to lose.
Well, they just want the Dolphins to stay on TV and stay relevant. So a first round exit's going to hurt that. A home playoff game would absolutely not hurt that. So the NFL is a business; it's about the money. And again, this is conspiracy theory talk. It's not real serious. But at the same time, if it happened, it wouldn't surprise me.
You know what I just realized? Everybody's talking about how Tua can't win games in big moments, in prime time. Can't win when it counts. You get Odell Beckham Jr. and the Kardashians in there, you're going to get a lot more prime time games, which means a lot more opportunities for Tua to prove himself in prime time. So there you go. It may not necessarily be winning teams, but it's going to be prime time. That's for sure. All right. We're going to go ahead and call it here. Everybody, thank you all so much for joining us. If once again, make sure you go to prizepicks.com. Use that promo code 5, that's FIVE, and they'll match up to $100 on your initial deposit when you sign up. And of course, use my Nintendo store. The link's in the description below of this YouTube video. You can get Super Mario RPG, Super Mario Brothers Wonder. Get bonus items upon making your purchase when you use the link below. This is going to be shown up on the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast feed shortly after this. So make sure you're tuned in for that if you haven't seen it live. And we will see you all next week for another episode of Pulse of Fins Nation. Good night, everybody.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.